Danny Wallace. Radio
X. Hello there and welcome to podcast 35 from the Important Broadcast. Lots going on today's show involving yawning, the weather. We do a small talk texter where we just ease people into the really important meaty topics that we get onto afterwards. We play a cracking round of Tell Me Something I Don't Know, which is just full of highs and lows and points hither and thither.
Everything changes.
Everything changes but you. That went romantic, didn't it?
That was nice.
Yeah. I feel too... Because you looked at me with some hope there.
Yeah.
I love you. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just not in love with you.
Oh, right.
It's one of those things.
Well, then why have you kept me hanging around?
I haven't... No. It's you keep turning up.
No. You text me late at night.
Just to ask you what you have for your tea...
Yeah, well, exactly. But what are you actually asking me with that? You're asking me, do you love me too?
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose I am.
I suspect not. I suspect when you were sending those texts, you've done it a couple of weeks now, asked us what we're having for our tea. And I think you were doing your research for Dinner Winner.
You think this is a tea time-based subterfuge?
Because
We do play Dinner Winner today, and it is tense.
I love that we're talking about how you text us what we are, as if that's like a normal thing for people to...
Well, sometimes I don't just text you to ask you what you have for your tea.
Yes, you do.
Well, no, sometimes I send you pictures of like the mudguard in my car. Yeah. And say, do you think this needs cleaning?
You sent me a picture of your boot before.
Yeah.
And just being like, the problem is you can get dirt in the boot and it can be tricky to clean.
Yeah, but the point of that was to show you the mudguard, the sort of the boot guard, which is a £150 option, which the dealer threw in for free.
Yeah.
Completely removable, isn't it?
And you can removable.
Clean it and sell the car on. You got a brand spanking new boot.
Exactly. You'd be surprised because it is a bit dirty, but you pick it up and it's pristine under there.
Is it though?
I'm going to send you a picture later. So we do all that and a lot more. But first of all, we begin with a clip chosen by Montgomery Baxter, who is from where?
He's from Chafford 100.
I have a Chafford 100. Radio X. Joe, we're about to go live. Have you told Steve about the format change?
We got 5 seconds, mate. I've not had a chance.
Sorry, I'm late. I fell on a spoon.
Mic's up!
Greetings, welcome to you. And on today's show, Giles Brandreth's travelled by rickshaw to Llanelith to tell us the history of the Portuguese tuba. Plus, Sally Gunnell meets the stay-at-home mum whose new business selling chairs that look like stools that look like chairs has netted her a cool 4-figure investment from ex-dragon Simon Woodruff. You remember Simon Woodruff, who immediately retracted it.
Danny, you've finally taken on some of my ideas.
At 11, it's National Wiener Schnitzel Day, and we've got hilarious Austrian chef Mr. Haha to tell us how to cook bad meat. At 1 past the hour, what are we going to do about all the violence? Then at 11.02, meet the winner of our top 10 pun contest. Which pun won? Clue, no pun in 10 did.
Danny, that's a pun in itself.
At 12, we'll do everything we did at 11 again, except slower.
Yes, mate.
Then, live in the studio, a man who makes bells from brass he steals off coffins. Is that right or wrong? Text us and that will determine the atmosphere of the interview.
Finally, the show is living up to its potential.
This is your all-new Important Broadcast. Now, shush your lips up and let's find some music to get into, shall we?
Ham fatter forever!
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Rolling Stones. Sympathy for the Devil. See, everybody deserves a bit of kindness, don't they? Don't they? Morning, everybody. You are with your Important Broadcast. Let's begin.
Radio X.
Well, how are you? That's the first thing. I just want to know how you are. I hope you're extraordinarily well today. It's Danny Wallace here, sitting alongside Steve Ferdinando.
All right.
And opposite Joe Attiwell.
Hello.
How are you, first of all? Get into the music, Steve.
Get into the music, Danny.
Thank you. Get into the music, Joe.
Get into the music, everyone.
How are your weeks? Are your weeks okay?
Very pleasant, thank you.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I've had a very unusual week, guys.
Oh, wow, why?
Very unusual week. I was going to say it began on Monday, but most weeks do.
Well, most weeks begin on Sunday, actually. But...
Oh! Well, it is true, in many cultures. My wife, on Monday evening, you know my wife.
Yeah, she's nice.
Very cold woman. Cold woman, very authoritarian, you know? On my birthday, I get £5 and a handshake.
Yeah.
You know that. At Christmas, I get a well done. She negotiates all my contracts, pays me a weekly pocket money, and lays out my uniform every night.
Yeah.
Anyway, this very cold woman, suddenly on Monday, a glimmer of warmth, when she said, we should get a kitten. Now, it's very unusual behaviour from my wife. She's not a cat person.
Are you? What are you, a cat person or a dog person?
Cats, dogs, send them all my way.
Okay.
But never had one. I mean, when I was a kid. So suddenly I'm like, well, I should leap on this. But I thought, maybe she's been drinking. Who knows what's happened? Who can truly know that woman? And Tuesday morning, she's still saying, we should get that kitten. And the kids are going back to school the very next day, you know. So we think, what a wonderful treat it'll be for the children. And so we go to a place and we get a kitten. There's enough love in the house to give to this little beast. Mm. And then, of course, as soon as we're driving it back, the vomiting begins.
What, from you?
Yeah, I was very nervous. The cat, and worse, other things, and the car is filling up with what I soon realise is going to be the smell of my life from now on.
Yeah.
I have to buy cat food. That doesn't smell good.
Doesn't.
So now we've got this little beast running around. On the very morning, we have to get the kids ready to go to school for the first time. And it's just chaos. Absolute chaos. He's leaping around. She's leaping around. Again, the cat, not my wife. And all I've done now is demote my own standing within the household. You know? I used to be the big guy on
campus.
Yeah,
she rules it now. What's her name?
Frankie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Frankie. Mm. But, she, you know, she's there. And now I'm just essentially just a senior child.
Yeah, well, up below the cat, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you must feel Steve in everyday life.
No, well...
Because at work I've got a little kitten here to play with.
Yeah,
what? But I leave you here.
Yeah, well, can't you? You leave the cat at home though, don't you?
Yeah, I've not brought it with me. That would be a terrible thing to do. Your week, anything sort of similar to that? Any kitten-based nonsense?
No kitten-based fun, but I did go see Arctic Monkeys this week.
Of course you did, because it's a week.
Went up to Manchester, saw them up in that wonderful city.
And how were they? Did they play any of their hits?
They played a lot of their hits.
Bet they did.
I'll tell you what happened, though. Halfway, I went with Mike Walsh, who's our head of music.
Yes.
He's a bit of a big fish.
He's a big fish, isn't he?
In the big pond of music.
Exactly.
And he said, he looked at his
like
phone.
Like a carp, isn't he?
He's like a koi
like
carp.
A beautiful koi carp, but go on.
And he goes... Ah, oh, that's a shame, never mind. And I was like, what? What's a shame? He goes, the manager for the band just texted me saying, do you want to come backstage after the show and meet the band and have a couple of beers with us? But I'm driving, so...
What about you, Steve?
I was like, this is my dream come
this
true.
This is everything you've ever wanted.
And he's like, I'm driving, so I just said no. And I was like, what? Why couldn't we go down for 10 minutes?
Oh, Steve.
Just 10 minutes.
Oh, unbelievable. Thorted.
So yet again, you haven't met Arctic Monkeys?
No.
Well, there's always next week.
I have seen him next week.
No, you're not.
I go to the IT show.
Are you kidding me? That's all you do. You got to get a kitten. Get a hobby, for goodness sakes. Let's get some music going on. In a moment or two, I'm going to tell you about a very strange thing a man said to me in a cafe. That's a little tease, isn't it? What could it be?
Radio X.
X.
Danny Wallace.
I mentioned this fella... This fellow in a cafe the other day. I went to a well-known high street coffee chain, and I wanted a cup of tea because maverick, you know. They said, "Oh, here's another coffee bozo." Oh no! I'll have a tea, please.
An English breakfast, or
yeah, it was yeah. Write it all down, people. And I ordered my tea from a man. Didn't really take him in, and then the tea was ready about 15 seconds later, the barista behind just poured some water. You know how to make tea.
Yeah.
And handed the man my tea, and the man slid it across the counter to me. And then he said, can I ask a favour? I was like, yeah. And he said, are you all right to just leave an online review for me?
For him personally?
Yeah.
What, as in, like, to review, like, the tea he's made?
I guess so. But he didn't make it, Steve. He simply, I said a cup of tea, and then he went tea, and then someone else made the tea, and he took the tea, and he put it in front of me, Now, I would struggle to fill a review.
Yeah. How many words have you got?
I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it? I could do a strong 2,000. But I've only got 15 seconds to work with, and the man was largely absent for those 15 seconds. But he was crucial in the ordering stage and the cup sliding across the counter stage.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to give him 5 out of 5, really. You got the tea quickly.
He didn't make the tea.
But was he like, you know, smiley or jovial?
Not really.
No.
He just went, tea. That's all he did. Because I'd already said tea. The woman could hear that I'd said tea. But he then repeated the word tea. But I could have done that. I could have cut out the middleman and just stretched across. He was largely redundant.
It sounds like to me he's done a flawless job.
Yeah, you can't really fault it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So you would... All right, so how would you describe this interaction?
I needed the tea to be passed to me. He did it quickly, safely. 5 out of 5.
Okay, that's about 40 words. Anything to add, Steve?
I would just add if he'd done it with a smile or if he was particularly... I would have perhaps put in some of the dialogue.
Painted a picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe talked a bit about my day, why I needed the tea.
Yeah.
I needed the tea quickly, within 15 seconds, that kind of thing. I just think we're reviewing too much, aren't we?
I think you might be right there, reviewing the transaction of the tea.
Anyway, a strong 5 stars to that man in that place. We got Stone Roses coming up after this.
This is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Steve, you got some peacock news.
Peacock news.
People
for
get in
me.
Touch all week with various peacock-related sightings.
My Twitter feed is essentially just me tweeting out pictures of one of you two, and then people tweeting me pictures of peacocks. That is all it is for.
It's what Sir Tim Berners-Lee had in mind when inventing the internet. Go on then, Steve. You got some peacock news. I'd love to hear it.
A peacock is in danger.
What?
Guys.
Where?
A peacock in, I'll tell you, and not just any peacock, my peacock.
What?
So do you remember the first peak, the reason we talk about
peacocks? Yeah, the Essex peacock.
The Essex peacock.
The Billericay.
He is in danger.
Why?
Because there is a 6-foot boa constrictor on the loose in Billericay, in Norsey Woods, and apparently boa constrictors have a bit of a taste for peacocks.
So there could be a Godzilla-style battle.
Exactly.
With the two beasts of Billericay.
Exactly, yeah.
And coming face to face. Whose turf is it?
Whose turf is it?
Is it the peacock? Is it the boa?
Well, this boa constrictor has been spotted in Norsey Woods, which is actually just around the corner from my parents' house.
Oh.
And a expert from Snakes Alive has said it won't attack dogs, but it may attack squirrels and birds.
Nothing about peacock. Well, birds, I suppose.
Yeah.
Strikes me this isn't really peacock news, is it?
This is peacock news, mate.
Well, is it? It's a story about a snake. You can't just loosely connect it to a peacock.
A source from Essex has said that the peacock is in danger.
Yeah, but then you could say almost any news story, couldn't you? Because Kim Jong-un has aimed his missiles at continental Europe, which spells bad news for the peacock of Billericay. You can't just do that. That's not peacock news.
This is peacock news, mate. There's a boa constrictor that eats peacocks on the loose in Essex, where we know there is a peacock running afoul.
A mock. They should team up.
No, well, they're not going to. They're sworn enemies. And this boa constrictor...
Sworn enemies? Okay, you go on.
This boa constrictor apparently is more likely to be dwelling in a tree where birds live.
All right, I guess that's peacock news.
Peacock news for another week.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to find peacock news.
I suppose so. I've got a bit of peacock news as well.
Oh, go on.
Boris Johnson is in trouble this week after an inopportune comparison in, I think, the Sunday Times.
Mm-hmm.
People will be throwing that newspaper away.
Yeah.
Because of that, it could clog up the bins, especially in Essex. Where that peacock is.
It's not the same thing.
It is.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio X.
Kasabian, bless this acid house. I love that, Steve. Mm. It makes me bounce around in my office chair.
Yeah, you do bounce around.
I bounce, don't I, when I did it? Maybe it's the very strong coffee you've just brought me.
Maybe it is.
Could be any of that. We're going to play Tell Me Something I Don't Know shortly, as well as 4x4, where we look at the top 4 news stories as determined by me and deliver them in just 4 minutes. But we're going to try something new here. We tried a little thing last week, didn't we, called Dinner Winners. you know.
And it was just really through, fun.
It was fun.
It's just people want to know, don't they? People want to know.
It's the minutia of everyday life. Mm. But I thought, hang on, there's jeopardy here. Mm. There's drama we're missing. What if this was a head-to-head competition between me and Steve over who had the best dinners? You know? I think people will hang on every word of this.
I'm feeling confident.
You can play along at home. You'll be comparing and contrasting. So we're going to go through the week. Joe, you're going to decide who had the best dinner. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's a point for the best dinner. And then we get to Sunday. And as always with this program, you're laughing at this already.
No, I'm up for it.
As ever, when we get to Sunday, because we haven't had Sunday dinner yet, have we? Of course we haven't. What a crazy thing to say. We have to go in honesty and say what we're planning to have later on. That's worth 2 points. Huh?
Yeah.
But Joe, let's make this very tense indeed.
Okay. Here we go. Let's begin with
Monday.
Now, this is known as a tension bed.
Mm.
It's just here to add a little bit of drama.
Yeah.
A little bit of tension. So, Joe, who would you like to hear from first with Monday? You've got your pen out. That's good.
Let's hear from Steve. Steve, what do you have on Monday?
Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah.
I had homemade chili.
Ooh.
Made by my flatmates for me.
Okay.
Ooh. With a side of cool original Doritos.
Wow. Okay. So, basically crisps and meat.
No, don't do him down.
Well, I'm just saying, just bear that in mind.
What did you have?
Hoisin beef with peppers, onions, green beans and rice. Simple, well cooked, perfect, and nary a crisp in sight.
I like crisps and I don't really like hoisin, so that one's going to Steve.
Okay, this is already a flawed format.
Let's move on to Tuesday.
Wow. I was not expecting that. Tuesday I had pulled pork and chips and a bad sauce. My wife burnt the oven chips because she refuses to set the timer, preferring instead to opt for her instincts, which have never in 15 years proved correct.
Steve, what did you have?
I had a three-course gourmet meal at the AIM Awards, including chicken Caesar croquettes, lamb rump with pickled cucumber, and pistachio and pineapple ice cream.
All right, say no more, say no more. I think we know who got that.
Well,
one.
No, who? Who?
It was Steve.
Oh, man!
Wednesday,
I made a halloumi burger with red pepper and sweet chilli, cooked for 8 on the dot, but eaten at 10 p.m.
Ooh. Okay, Steve?
I had a single McDonald's cheeseburger.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I really like halloumi burgers.
Well, okay, pulling it back.
It's a point for Danny.
Thursday,
I had beans on toast, hint of Tabasco, Yorkshire brown bread. Shall I have cheese? No, doesn't need it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Not
no
sure
cheese.
About
that.
I had a burrito from Oaxaca, paid for by our head of music.
Sorry, that's an easy one. I love burritos and everything needs cheese. So that's another point for Steve.
So far, by my calculations, with his free industry dinner and someone else paying for his meal, he so far has spent 99p on a cheeseburger. Friday, not just a hot chicken tikka masala, an M&S hot chicken tikka masala with a side of masala dosa, the South Indian treat first cooked for me by Anil Taylor's mum in Loughborough in the mid-1980s, and cooked for me every time I visit them or him or her, resplendent as it is with cooked potato, its spiced centre, coconut sauce, its vibrant, piquant sense of possibilities, all lost in the M&S version, but which reminds me of Mrs. Taylor, a woman I would have married for her masala dosa, were she not already in her 70s, happily married, and crucially, Anil's mum.
What did you have, Steve, on Friday?
I had a frozen Tesco's pizza.
Okay, I really like curry. I really like pizza as well, but curry for me. Okay, Saturday.
Oh,
is this the big one now?
Now, I'm a humble man. Often I will have a civilian dinner. And last night was a simple baked potato with beans and onions, like an honest 19th century peasant. Steve.
That's pathetic.
Well, what could you possibly play that's going to beat a baked potato?
I had...
That's my wild... That's my, this is my banker.
I had a steak dinner at the New Cross Grill in Liverpool Street.
Did you pay for it?
I did pay for it. Well, I've not paid for it yet, but I will.
What do you mean you haven't paid for it yet?
Well, you're going to go back.
Generally, you pay when you have the meal.
My mate picked up the bill, but I'm going to send him the money.
This guy spends 99p and he's going to win dinner winner.
It's ridiculous. No, he's not going to. I'm going to side with you because I love baked potatoes. Did
what?
Did you say cheese?
That's right.
It had cheese on?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear about Sunday.
Sunday.
So this is the honesty bit. This is the big one. This is worth 2 points. What are the scores so far?
That's you're on 3-all. So whoever takes this streaks away with it.
Here's what I'm having, Steve.
Oh, I'm nervous.
What will you have?
A full roast, no nonsense, with seconds, because we bought too much stuff thinking friends were coming around later, when in fact they're coming around next week. That is a double score. Beat a roast.
I was going to make a homemade curry that I can turn into lunches. No meat, sweet potato.
How good are you at making curries? Could it go either way, or is it nailed on?
I'm pretty confident. It's my go-to dish, the curry. Coconut milk, you got to have in there a bit of mustard.
Well, look, this is the big one. It's three apiece.
All right, I know how to settle this.
Yeah.
Danny, will you be having pudding?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
What will it be, do you think?
A few bits of Swiss chocolate brought over by my Swiss cousin.
Yeah. Steve, pudding?
I was just going to have a pint.
Danny, you win dinner winner. Congratulations.
This is the greatest game in the world.
I nearly swore.
If you discount all the other games in the world.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So we just played Dinner Winner. Fascinating insight into the eating habits of everyone who works here. Steve's new book, The 99p Diet. how to get your whole week's food paid for by other people, apart from Wednesdays where you just buy a cheeseburger.
You know what, just to be honest, I didn't actually pay for that cheeseburger either.
What do you mean?
My mate bought it for me.
You're kidding me.
So you've not bought a dinner all week?
Well,
no. And you expect to win Dinner Winner?
Oh, well, my food was better than your food.
There's not much fibre in your diet either, I've noticed, looking at what you've written down. I think we can go braver with that as well, because as you know, 61% of the Radio X demographic are ABC1s.
Yeah.
So we could bring quinoa into it.
Yeah.
So we'll do a bit of that. I've just realised as well, we've gone sort of 43 minutes and I haven't asked you anything, just to kind of, you know, ease us into the show, you know, a bit of small talk. So we thought we'd do another small talk texter. We don't expect, you know, you don't have to go into great detail. We're not interested in detail. It's just a little thing between us where I just say something and you just say something back. So 83936, this is our small talk texter. Weather's turned, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So let's give an example of that. So, Joe, weather's turned, isn't it?
It has. I've put a jumper on.
Have you?
At least three nights this week.
Great small talk. Weather's turned, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it's a bit chilly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gone a bit chillier. What happened to the Indian summer we're expecting?
Yeah, it's weird. A bit chilly.
It's fallen by the wayside. We were lucky, though, weren't we, with the summer we had?
Good.
Right, guys, not too much, yeah?
83936, our small talk texter. Just reply to this, please. Weather's turned, isn't it? So we'll get your replies after this.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Just to ease us in to the show so we can get to the really meaty stuff just a bit later on, so that we don't overwhelm you, you know, with quality content. It's important to just slide you in with a bit of chit-chat. So I asked you to let me know your response on 83936 to weather's turned, isn't it? And Luke in Leeds has responded, just saying, yeah, can't make up its mind, can it?
Yeah, it's turned, isn't it?
Chloe in Louth, she goes, yeah, when's it going to give up, eh? I'm agreed.
It won't.
I'm glad of it.
Ben from Bracknell just says, yeah, it's getting darker sooner as well, isn't it? Autumn truly is here to stay, he finishes.
Yeah.
Chris in Costa Dorada says, well, that's the summer over. Be Christmas before you know it.
Yeah. Getting cold.
Anonymous just says, yeah, and the nights are pulling in. Yeah, it's true. And weather's getting a bit nippy now. Says someone else, just going to need to get my fire cleaned out, ready for my first fire after summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that time already, isn't it?
Get the slippers out.
And the wood chopped.
Absolutely. Darren in Swinton, that's good. He turns it to sport. He says, yeah, surprise, Spain beat us, really. They're not used to the cold, are they? Which is good, because then you can do a little bit of, oh, yeah, that's true, yeah, and then yeah. Crack on.
Great small talk, that, yeah.
Absolutely. Craig just says, well, mustn't grumble. Good point.
Yeah,
good point. Because he's right, isn't he? We'd be grumbling about the hot weather, wouldn't we? And then we'd be grumbling about everything else, wouldn't we?
Oh, so it was too hot this summer, though. It was too hot.
Got to get on with it.
James in Whitley Bay just says, yeah, it's time to switch the heating on. You know, just for a few hours, not made of money. Paul in Salford just says, well, nice weather for ducks.
Yeah.
And we'd chuckle, I suppose, after he said that, wouldn't we?
Nice weather. Good weather for ducks.
And Gemma just says, well, I'll tell you one thing. All this rain, something we like about it, but It's good for the garden.
Yeah,
it is good for the garden. Good. Small talk done, everybody. Small talk done.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio X.
Oh, that's two jokes. That's what you said just then, Steve.
It is what I said, John.
Because you enjoyed that that texter so much that you just went, oh, that's two jokes.
That's jokes, yeah.
And then I repeated it and you looked at me askance.
Yeah, well, you're mocking me.
I wasn't mocking you.
Oh, it sounds like you're mocking me.
I wasn't mocking you. I was studying you.
Studying me.
Studying you. It's like a character study.
Right. Why are you doing that?
I've got an audition.
Oh, for what?
To play a shoplifter in The Bill.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
People still texting in. Tim in Rotherham just goes, good job, skin's waterproof.
Yeah.
Someone else just says, have you noticed the shop's already getting the Christmas stuff out? All good small talk.
Good small talk.
Do you know who I saw on the way in?
Who?
I'm 99% sure it was him, because he was hiding under his hat. I saw just a glimpse, and then he just looked down. George Galloway.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
He's wearing his hat. You know, like, he always looks to me when he wears that hat. And Farage wears a very similar hat sometimes. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? Like a big sort of weird black trilby looking thing.
Yeah, I hate those hats.
It always looks to me, like they've decided to set up like a Victorian ghost hunting agency.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
It's sort of like a bozo hat. You see a lot of them around. And in Leicester Square, there's the Leicester Square jumper who keeps jumping out at Steve. And there's the man who just holds the football. Have you seen him?
I've seen him, yeah.
He holds the football and he looks like he's about to do something incredible. Mm. But he just stands still for 3 hours.
There's another guy on Leicester Square.
It's the guy who plays the cone like it's a trumpet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about.
I knew it. So it's just a little moment in history. It's nice. All the characters around that we see in this country, like Victorian ghost hunters. And cone playing men.
Yeah, Dickensian nightmare.
Oh, it must be for you, you little urchin. We'll be back after this.
This is Radio
X.
Danny Wallace.
Hi, I'm Steve Ferdinando, inventor of the 99p diet, now available as a Kindle single. How do I eat for just 99p a week? Answer: I get other people to pay for all my dinners. Learn techniques like, oh no, I forgot my wallet. And, oh no, the bill's coming. I'll just pop to the loo. The 99p diet. One cheeseburger, 7 days, seven suckers. £42.99 or 43 cheeseburgers.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So it is your important broadcast. Your weekly chance to learn, you know? All the things, imagine all the things people have learned in the past nearly 40 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, lucky people.
Aren't they? It's the consummate broadcaster. What have you learned?
What have I learned?
Yeah.
I've learned that I look like a shoplifter.
I guess you do. I've told you that a few times. But that's there's no way to... I mean, you could use that as a distraction. If you were to gang up with other shoplifters,
yeah,
ones that don't look like shoplifters, you're the distraction piece, aren't you?
I'm the decoy.
You're the sort of the Pied Piper of security guards.
So they all follow me.
Exactly. You've got a shifty look about you, that's all we're saying.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Weezer, Africa. There's been panic in the studio, hasn't there?
Ooh.
Absolute mayhem here on the important broadcast. Well, I think there has been, because the last 10 seconds were frenetic. They were fraught. Not my fault. No way. Not Steve's fault.
No, unusually.
What? Joe's fault, because we're about to play Tell Me Something I Don't Know. I've got my facts ready. Steve's got his facts ready. Joe suddenly realised... you were factless.
Why was I factless?
Because I wrote a little thing and made you do it.
Yes, exactly. In my usual preparation time for this excellent feature.
Yeah. But I just thought it'd be nice to have a little, a skit.
Yeah,
skit.
We'll hear that in a minute, won't we?
Won't we just? But not before we've played Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Radio X.
Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
So again, this is just another way for you to learn. You know, arm yourself with some facts that you can use a little bit later on, perhaps at Sunday lunch, perhaps in the pub, perhaps just talking to a stranger.
Yep.
Could be any of those things.
Perhaps buying a cup of tea off of a kind old lady.
any of those things and more. Just pop a fact in and your day's a good un. So we'll go around the table. We'll each deliver two facts that we hope the other people don't know. It's a game of honesty. It's the people's game. So who should go first? Probably not Joe.
No, I'm good now, mate.
Are you good, are you?
Yeah.
I would like Joe to go first.
Let's jump
then.
Straight in. Hopefully it won't be a golden lie. Joe, what is your first fact, please?
Did you know?
It's a lie.
No, Steve might know this as social media editor.
Okay.
Did you know that on Facebook you can change your language to pirate?
Oh, that's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Really?
No, I'd rather have not known that.
That's yeah. Right. I get 2 points, yay.
We should do a game called I'd Rather Not Have Known That. Steve, what is your fact?
Coca-Cola is the most popular drink everywhere apart from Scotland, where it's Iron Brew.
Is that right?
That's true.
Sounds a bit funny. That.
Yeah. Say it again.
So Coca-Cola is the most popular drink in most countries.
Yeah.
But in Scotland, the most popular, most sold drink is Iron Brew.
It outsells
Coca-Cola.
Iron Brew.
Iron Brew outsells Coca-Cola, yeah.
I'm going to call it. That's a golden lie.
It's not a golden lie.
What?
Oh, what? Yeah.
You're kidding me.
That's the truth.
I didn't know it outsold.
I mean, I've not dug into the overheads, but there's a thing I was told.
Oh, you were just told it? Yeah, by who? Iron Brew salesman.
And I've Googled it, so it must be true.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, we'll go with that. I didn't know that.
I've lost my 8 points.
Oh, dear. Guys, let's talk about the lifespan of a pencil.
Yeah.
Now, taking a normal pencil, a standard pencil of pencil width and pencil length, mm-hmm. How long do you think a pencil could draw for if it became sentient and just dragged its little body around the world?
I've heard this fact before, but I don't know it.
Really?
So I don't know.
So imagine it just sprouts little legs.
What?
But I'm trying to bring it to life.
Or a person could
yeah,
do it.
That's less interesting than a pencil grows little legs, sprouts little legs.
Right.
And it has to walk somewhere.
Until it runs out.
Yeah.
Until
it's getting
no
smaller
legs.
And smaller and smaller. It's like the story of life, isn't it? And this, how far could that pencil walk?
Maybe like a 10 feet, a mile.
10 feet?
I don't know.
10 feet or a mile.
One pencil could draw a line 38 miles long.
Nonsense.
It's true.
That's nonsense.
If only someone cared to use the full potential of a pencil. That is a walk from Manchester to Chesterfield, if you can imagine such a thing. Drawing one line down the road until that pencil is just a nub.
No, I don't believe that.
I didn't
you
know
didn't
that.
Know that?
No, hang on, what are you saying? You're saying it's a golden lie?
I think that's a lie. I don't believe that.
Oh.
I've heard the fact before, but I don't know if it's 38 miles, so I'm going to stay safe.
Okay, so, well, you're on zero, so it doesn't really matter. But he's on what, 2,000 points?
No, he's got 1,012.
So what happens if he calls out a golden lie?
He goes back to zero.
Ah. Back to zero you go.
Oh, no!
It's true. 38 miles is the lifespan of a pencil.
Oh.
Joe.
Good. I heard this one this week and I love it. So, you know when you yawn?
Yeah, I do, yeah. That's something relatable we can all relate to. It's good.
Other people sometimes yawn as well, don't they?
They catch the yawn, don't they?
Catch the yawn.
Yeah.
Did you know that you are more likely to catch the yawn if the person has their eyes closed whilst they do it? If they've got their eyes open and they're looking at you, you're unlikely to catch it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Because they're sort of, yeah, I can imagine that, because they're relaxed and there's no sort of confrontation. Yeah, it's
natural to close your
it's
eyes.
It's very good. Yeah, what about you? Do you believe that?
I do believe that, yeah.
Yeah.
I also have heard that no one knows really why we yawn.
Oh, there you go. That was a golden lie! I'm not 1,000 points!
Wow! Joe, you little genius.
Yes.
So you're in the lead now.
It's the first time I've ever done a golden
line. What a great fact, great made-up fact. Let's just as an experiment. I once did this. Let's see how far we can spread a yawn, right? So let's see how far we can put this yawn. Just drop the bed for a second. Okay, now the three of us will all yawn, right? And then people can text us 83936 with their location. And then we'll have sent a yawn and we'll see how far we can send the yawn.
Do you think it works on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Go on then.
All of us, right? So So, 83936, let us know where you are if you caught that yawn. Guys, it's over to you for your second fact, Steve.
All right, apparently Fanta was invented because they couldn't get enough Coke syrup into Nazi Germany. There you go.
Who were you talking to this week? Did you just go to orangeliquids.com? That's very odd. No, I didn't know that. So there you go. It's odd. My final one. Guys, you know a flamingo's knee?
Oh, yeah.
You just imagine, visualise it, the
backwards,
flamingo's knee.
Isn't it?
Exactly. It's a bit backwards, and it's sort of halfway up its leg. That's not a knee. That's an ankle.
What?
Yeah.
On what basis?
On the basis of biology.
Oh.
yeah, but it's a fact that slightly makes me queasy.
Yeah, no, I guess get the way the joint would move. It
an
would
ankle?
Be
an ankle where a knee should be. No, thank you, madam. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Great facts, everybody. You could do with a bit of work there, Steve. You can't just talk about...
All my facts always have themes every week.
Yeah, orange liquid, fair enough. What are the scores?
I got 1,000 and... No, just 1,000. Steve is now on 2 because he got 0 and then he got 2, so he's got 2.
Excellent.
Got 4.
Great. Just on the subject of the yawn, I can confirm John caught the yawn in Wigan. Lee in Cumbria caught the yawn. Manda in Bolton also yawned. Liverpool, Jay yawned. Bromley, we come back down south for a yawn there. There is a yawn in Tadworth in Surrey. Matt in Plymouth yawned. Right here in London, that must have been a strong yawn. Steve in Durham also yawned. It stretched to High Wycombe. Bromley caught the yawn. Eastleigh, brackets Loughborough, Zoe caught the yawn. And Steve finishes with a compliment, saying it's the first time you've made us all yawn. Isn't that nice? We will track that yawn as it goes around the world.
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Located at the end of the Strand, just by Waterloo Bridge and moments from Trafalgar Square, Pret a Manger succeeds in a crowded marketplace by offering quick service, quality coffees and a wide selection of pastries. I was greeted by a clean counter and a man who, when I asked for a tea, nodded and said tea. The barista behind the man began to make the tea, and within 15 seconds or so, the man had taken the tea from the barista and, using his man hands, placed the tea in front of me, which really forms the basis of this review. The tea the man gave me was indeed tea, contained within a standard vessel or cup. It was piping hot, as you'd expect, and the man did not fail at saying tea and passing it to me. The man seemed a decent man, with those man hands segueing into first wrist, lower arm, elbow, upper arm, shoulders. Head one way, neck and torso to the other, depending on what you look at first. I went head and face. The counter, reasonably high, prevented me from going further than the navel, but I assume there were buttock / groin, upper legs, knee, lower legs, down past the ankle and foot to toes either side, ending with the big toes. All in all, 5 stars.
This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
So many texts, everybody. So many texts. And it puts, Joe there, where he said... Is that going to work on the radio, this yawn thing? This yawn has spread around the world, Joe.
I was curious, but now I'm delighted.
Hundreds of texts. Someone caught it in Portugal. Someone, Zach, he caught it in the Isle of Wight, but Tom caught it in the Maldives.
Wow.
Remy and his wife caught the yawn listening in Saudi Arabia. Ooh. And Dan and Jody caught it in a place called Chafford Hundred, which I don't believe exists.
Yeah, that's around the corner.
Even my mum... just WhatsApped me, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. She's in Italy right now, and she caught the yawn there.
Brilliant.
The yawn's everywhere. So we've had all these texts today about a yawn, and we've had all the other texts, right? You know, there's people that go through the stats here at Radio X, and they'll see a sharp spike, 2 sharp spikes today, of listener interaction. And they'll say, guys, what is the secret? There'll be a conference, and they'll make us come in and go, guys, what's the secret? And we'll say 2 things. Did you just yawn? And hasn't the weather turned? Those are the things that get people talking and texting and engaging. Little radio masterclass there for you. We're going to look at the newspapers in just a few moments' time.
Radio X.
X.
Danny Wallace.
Quick yawn update. We've hit the Philippines.
Excellent.
Slight delay, but it got there. Isn't that great? Just spreading a yawn around the world. We are now going to do 4x4. I have picked the 4 most important news stories for you, Stephen, so that you feel armed and ready for the day. Mm-hmm. Topically alert. You have just little nuggets of info that you can lob at girls
I've just thrown them at the women.
Yeah, and they're like, wow, this guy's wise.
Wow, he must read the broadsheets.
So I've got 1 minute for each of these stories. Joe, and you'll let me know when the minute is up.
That's correct, with a fun sound effect.
Let's go. Airport security trays carry more germs than what, Steve?
I'm going to guess a toilet seat.
Exactly correct. Toilets in general, not even just... Really? Not even just the toilets. So they wanted to find out, you know, airports are kind of designed for stress, aren't they? Designed for very sort of close contact with everybody. Yeah. They started to try and improve it, but they don't really... I mean, it's very hard for them to clean, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't see people cleaning the trays all day, anything like that. You see them mopping the floors and whatnot. But these trays, into which we put our wallets and our keys and our phones, contain more germs than a toilet.
I mean, it's just...
Can you perceive of such a thing?
It's just nonsense stories like that. I'm sorry.
It's not nonsense. It's rubbish. This has been done by... What do you mean rubbish?
Well, it's all these things, isn't it? It's like just... They're germs that don't make any difference.
These are horrible. The influenza. you know, these are hankies and tissues going into... Old tissues, Steve.
No, nonsense. It doesn't make any difference. No one's getting sick off an airport tray.
Oh, that's an awful sound effect. plastic tunnel. Has become a major attraction in Britain.
All right, okay.
Now, this is a plastic tunnel attached to the side of a supermarket.
Okay.
It's just one of those tunnels that you walk through to shield from the rain while you push your trolley. And some wise guy left a little review of it. And people have started to go crazy for this plastic tunnel.
Why?
And it's become... it's got more than 170 comments, each ranking it excellent.
Wow.
Now, obviously, I think this person was sort of joking a little bit, comparing it to, for example, the Taj Mahal and calling it one of the Seven Wonders. But that has backfired slightly on some tourists who've come to this town, find themselves wondering what to do, and wander off to look at this plastic tunnel, which, again, is just a plastic tunnel. And some people, some reviewers, are very confused by it. Some of them just go, I did not realise this was an attraction. We thought this was just an undercover walkway to get to Sainsbury's. I don't know why people come to see this. Other people went sort of a 50-minute drive to go and see it from wherever they had been. They'd been at Stonehenge or something, somewhere miles away. Anyway, so I'm just saying don't go and do that. Now, a harvester the other day had to close because of a gas leak. Oh, you know, that's, you know, it can be dangerous.
Fair. Yeah, fair enough.
So they did the right thing. They put a notice up just saying, guys, can't come in for a little while. Now, that's wise. Good planning. Yeah. And I think if you got to the harvester and it was closed for that reason, you'd be thankful that they had been so conscientious and they had spotted it in the first place.
Yeah.
And they put up the sign, but sadly I guess they didn't have autocorrect, or maybe they did. And the sign just said, we're closed today until 1 o'clock due to gas licking. Which sounds like a brand new teen trend. There's sort of parental ears pricking up all over the place going, what, kids go to harvester to lick gas? They don't do that. It was just an unfortunate mistake. So, you know, that's all there is to that. Doesn't even fill a minute, that one.
Not even a minute when the gas licking.
And finally, this is my favourite one. There's a fella in Kuwait. He's a fishmonger by trade.
Cool.
And I guess that's his main interest as well. But he'd been noticing no one was really buying his fish. And the fewer fish he sold, the older the fish that he did have were getting.
Mm.
And it's very difficult to make a fish look fresh when it isn't.
Yeah.
But he thought, I'm going to make this fish look very fresh indeed.
Right.
So, you know, like those bug eyes you can buy, sort of like they wobble about if you shake it. You get them on toys and stuff. If you were in the Dennis the Menace fan club, your Nasher badge would have these sort of these wobbly eyes.
Yeah, you stick them on rocks and stuff.
Yeah, well, he bought a load of them.
Googly eyes.
Googly eyes. He bought a load of them in a big bag, and then he just went around all the fish sticking googly eyes.
He did.
Yeah. And all these people are like, this fish looks fresh, man.
No, they wouldn't be
like
that.
And anyway, I think he's been done for that. And the one policeman said, it looked fishy.
Hey.
Which was a good joke to end on. Someone just says that's not an awful sound effect. That is blasphemy. That is the coin sound effect from Super Mario Brothers. Well spotted. 5 points to you.
Radio X.
X.
Danny Wallace.
Hello to Ash and Romford, who joined us late, has been noted. The yawn has spread to South Korea.
Whoa.
According to Ooh Nurse. And well done to Josie, who has completed a half marathon, Joe.
She has. I'm very proud of her.
That's good. By the way, that is your girlfriend.
Yeah,
not just a weird, creepy, sexist guy on the radio just talking about a listener.
No,
very proud of.
I'm proud of that, listener.
Yeah. Our podcast will be going up in a few hours' time. Lots of extra stuff on there as well, including the first of Steve's TED Talks.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know about this.
No, I'm doing a TED Talk.
Yeah, I'm going to record it in a little while. I'm going to set you a subject and just let you explore it. Because we live in a time where there are too many experts, aren't there? That's what they say.
Tired of them.
Oh, we don't want experts with their facts and work and knowledge. We just want people like Steve with good old-fashioned British common sense. So you'll be doing your first TED Talk on that podcast. We've got music coming up from Killers and Nothing But Thieves. It is a crime special on the Important Broadcast.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
We did it, you know, that yawn that we started. Mm-hmm. It went to Chafford 100 in Essex, I believe you said.
I think so, yeah.
It went to the Maldives. It went all over, Saudi Arabia and South Korea. And we've made it all the way to Melbourne. Who was that?
It was an email from Bevan. I think it's Bevan Morton.
Bevan Morton. Wow. So we made someone yawn in Melbourne. Isn't that nice? What a lovely little scientific experiment.
That yawn's better travelled than I am.
Isn't it just? But you'll be travelling today, won't you? Because you've got various chores to undertake. I find your chores fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. All I know is you've mentioned coat hangers.
I need to buy a coat hanger. I don't know
where
to
get. Are you breaking into cars? Why is it just one coat hanger?
I need a coat hanger.
A coat hanger?
Yeah.
One coat hanger.
I don't think they're sold singly.
No one's ever gone out to buy a coat hanger.
Where do you buy batches of them from then?
Where do you buy a coat hanger? Oh, it's the texter that never was. Oh, well. That would have lit up the screens.
It would have.
Yeah. So you just need a coat hanger, and what else?
I need to buy a map.
A coat hanger and a map?
it's like a weird scavenger hunt, isn't it?
Does your radio not get reception? What, a plug?
Yeah, like a plug thing, you know, where you plug other plugs into it. What's it called?
An extension lead?
Yeah.
What a boring Sunday. What a damp squib of a shopping list.
And a plant.
And a plant?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, I don't know, it's nice to have a plant in the room, isn't it?
What a bleak house you live in if it's just you, a coat hanger and a plant. Yeah, or an extension lead.
I would have bought a nice plant. There's nothing wrong with buying plants.
Well, listen, think of this, ladies and gents, as a wonderful tease. Because he's going to go out, get this little shopping list like a terrible sort of Dungeons & Dragons game, and he's going to come back armed with stories next week. Stories of intrigue and wonder. What plant did he get? How many coat hangers are in a batch? What was the map even for? We don't know. It could be Spain. This guy and his stories. We'll be back same time next week. And don't forget, the podcast is going up pretty, pretty shortly, including Steve's TED Talks. Here's Nothing But Thieves. Bye-bye.
This
is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Okay, time for I guess a podcast exclusive brand new feature, Steve.
Right.
You don't really know much about this other than the title. The title is Steve's TED Talks, because I think it's interesting in this day and age where expertise and knowledge are both frowned upon, which goes very much against what we do here on The Important Broadcast. It's important to try and apply a little bit of great British common sense to some of these big issues. And I like the idea of you doing a TED Talk,
okay,
having a little microphone strapped to your cheek.
Yeah.
Standing in the wings, there's a big stage in front of you, 400 keen science and technology fans.
Right.
Under sort of, I guess at the moment, there is a sense of anticipation. There are some spotlights going left and right, and then maybe it's sort of like blue lit. Big sign behind saying whatever it is that TED Talks say, the best in saying things.
They tend to be quite anecdotal, don't they, TED Talks as well?
Great. That's a great tip. So try and bring some of your own life into this.
Okay. Shall I stand up?
Yeah, you can stand up.
I'll stand up.
Okay, Steve's standing up. Brilliant. Oh, dynamic. Dynamic radio. So let's have the first of Steve's TED Talks. Steve, your subject, which I'd like you to talk about, is the following. And I may well ask questions at some point. Could God, the all-powerful, create a stone so heavy that even God could not lift it?
I mean, it's a big topic, that. Right, okay.
Is that how you'd start it?
No, no.
Just chuckling and saying, right, okay. Because they're like, this guy's an expert.
Right, okay.
So don't forget to bring in some of your own life.
Right, okay. Let me TED talk up a bit. Okay, when should I start?
Now.
Okay. In 1998, I turned 8 years old. There was a small church around the corner from my house where often small people would get together and talk about big topics, and it was called Big Thinking in Little Billericay. And obviously, we talked a lot about God. I was raised in a God-fearing household, although none of us were christened. Could God lift something as heavy as a car? Yes. Could God lift something as heavy as a stone? Yes. But could God create a stone as heavy as the heaviest thing on earth? Yeah, he could do that as well.
Yeah.
But could he make something that couldn't be lifted? Questions that plagued us. Questions that we talked about. Yeah. It's normal to feel anxious in this world.
Yeah, that's true. It's very good.
I once felt anxious approaching these churches that we would discuss these big topics in. God is everywhere, if you believe in him. If you don't, then he's not anywhere.
Now I'm one of the audience. I'm putting my hand up and going...
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry, question. Yeah.
I'm saying, but yes, but could he create something so heavy that even he could not lift it?
Well, I mean, I guess anyone can create things that are heavy. Yeah. And I mean, I can create things that I can't lift.
Because obviously he's God, so he could create something unliftable, but he's also God, so he should be able to lift it because he can do anything. So if he's creating this incredibly heavy thing that even he can't lift, that's one thing.
Well,
but then
he
can't lift it.
Where does he put it? Does he put it in under the stairs?
Yeah, but can he lift it?
Well, he could unpower it so that he could then lift it again if he needed to.
You suck.
So if God does exist, he could create something so heavy he couldn't lift it, but he would also have the power to make it light again so that he could lift it. Any more questions?
That's perfect. Well done. I think we got to the nub of it. Steve's TED Talk number one in the bag.
Great. Thanks, everyone. God bless.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So that was podcast number 35 from the Important Broadcast. I wonder if Joe managed to sneak in a little That's 30-30.
That's 30-30.
Keen-eared listeners may have noticed it on last week's podcast.
They certainly might have.
I don't want to overdo it.
No, don't overdo it, but don't underdo it either.
Just do it.
Just do it, guys.
Oh, topical. Oh.
Isn't it topical? Wasn't that lovely? That Nike, did you see as well that after they released their new advertising campaign featuring Colin Kaepernick, the guy who kneels for the national anthem to protest violence from the authorities against black people, all the Nazis were sort of ripping up their socks that they were wearing, which is very powerful.
Yeah.
You don't want to go up against, in battle, a street battle, up against men who rip socks.
I bet the head of marketing at Nike was like...
Oh, no, this is a disaster.
This is the last thing we were expecting.
It went up 31%, their online sales.
Well, there
nice.
You go.
Good
there
for them.
Go. I agree with him. I think it's wonderful.
Who'd have thought that, That Nazis were sockless wonders.
Who would have thought that taking...
It's like they've gone, we can afford to lose the Nazis.
Yeah. It says that an anti-Nazi stance is popular.
Yeah. Well, just do it anyway.
Let's get out of the podcast.
Okay. Have a great week and we adore you.
Radio X.
Hi guys, just a little bit of secret bonus content now. I mentioned last week, I think, didn't I, Joe, that it's National Wiener Schnitzel Day in America.
Yes.
Because things aren't mad or messed up enough there.
No, no, no.
So I've been to the Austrian Tourism Board and here is your recipe for Wiener Schnitzel. Okay, this serves four. It is a 15-minute recipe. Joe, what are we going to need?
You'll need 4 veal cutlets.
4 of them.
Yep, 5 to 6 ounces each. Mm. 2 eggs.
Yep.
Approximately 4 ounces of flour.
Okay.
Approximately 4 ounces of breadcrumbs.
Give or take.
Salt and pepper, yep, obviously. Clarified butter, yeah, or lard, duck or goose fat.
Yeah.
Whatever takes your fancy. Slices of lemon to garnish.
Okay. Well, first of all, you lay out the schnitzel, remove the skin and beat it until thin. Season on both sides with the salt and pepper that Joe mentioned there. Then you've got your flour and your breadcrumbs. Put them on a separate flat plate. Beat the eggs together in a bowl using a fork, is what the Austrian Tourism Board recommends. Coat each schnitzel on both sides in flour, then dredge through the beaten eggs, ensuring no part of the schnitzel remains dry. Then it's just a case of coating in the breadcrumbs and carefully pressing down the crumbs using the reverse side of, again, that Austrian Tourism Board sanctioned fork. I've just received a text. It was the Austrian Tourist Board.
Oh, good.
They say you don't have to use a fork.
What else could you use?
One of those 3-pronged forks.
Oh, yeah, cool.
In a large pan or 2 medium-sized pans, melt just enough clarified butter or fat for the schnitzel to be able to swim freely in the oil. That makes it sound like it should still be alive. I don't think that's the case. Anyway, you've got your schnitzel swimming freely in oil. Sounds very good for you, doesn't it? Only place the schnitzel in the pan when the fat is so hot that it hisses and bubbles up, so it's almost like the fat is alive as well. And depending on the thickness of the type of meat... Hey, Steve, you all right? No, I'm just doing the Austrian Tourism Board's schnitzel recipe.
Oh, good. Well, crack on.
Fry on the other side until similarly golden brown. Remove the crispy schnitzel, place it on a paper towel to dry off, and dab carefully. Again, dab carefully to dry the schnitzel. Serve with pasta, potatoes, rice, potato salad, or mixed salad. Boom! There's your Wiener Schnitzel. Now, where have your friends gone?
I've just had a quick look for those, you know, not comfortable using veal.
Yeah.
Pork tenderloin is a perfectly good substitute. If
excellent.
You know.
Well, I'll do the whole thing again, but with pork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lay out the pork, remove any skin, and beat until thin. Season on both sides with salt and pepper. Make sure your pork is swimming. Radio X.